Are you intrigued by conspiracy theories and the strange, dark, and mysterious? If so, we invite you to subscribe to our new podcast, The Truth Behind the Lies, produced by 1950 Studios and distributed by the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Do you love podcasts and classic television? Do you want to listen to Secrets Uncovered, the Truth Behind the Lies podcast and rant radio, completely ad-free? At Limitless Broadcasting Network, we bring you all your favorites like The Carol Burnett Show, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, and I Love Lucy without any interruptions. For just $7 a month and $80 a year, you can unlock over 90 hours of quality television and podcast programming. Don't miss out. Subscribe today at limitlessbroadcastingnetwork.com, where endless entertainment awaits.
We have 9/11. It kind of reminds me of when Pearl Harbor happened. Or because that was, the president knew Pearl Harbor was going to happen before it happened. And it was just an excuse for us to get into the war. Just like
they knew that these planes were going to be hijacked well before they were hijacked.
Right. And people,
I'm not so sure
the government that. But they would get in trouble or they would get arrested if they tried to stop it.
Well, because they needed it.
Right.
And they're, you know, I personally, could they have put those planes into the buildings? Absolutely. Do I believe the planes are what brought down the buildings? I do not. Do I think that there was something else added to these planes as they went in? Most likely. Or did they have, you know, directed energy strikes? Did they have missiles? Did they have bombs implanted in the planes as they were flown in? I think most of the passengers on these planes were incapacitated. There were reports. I can't remember which plane it was. This lady got a phone call out. And she said there was gas coming out of the vents. She was trying to call her husband, and she was talking about there was gas coming out of the vents and people were falling unconscious. So,
we can find that. I never heard that.
You didn't hear about that one?
I did not hear about that. Tell me more about that.
That was covered on Alex Jones's show.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's the king of covering the 9/11 conspiracies and stuff.
It's hard to find these days.
I think a lot of the 9/11 stuff
has been scrubbed out.
Absolutely. Just looking up stuff for this episode, you find a lot of debunked conspiracy theories. You can't really find anything that actually shows you a spot for true conspiracy theories. It'll give you a list, but it'll tell you the debunked.
Right.
You know.
Right. No, I agree 100%. Looking up this, trying to figure out like what's A to B, when the president knew stuff, when he didn't know stuff, just how the buildings fell. Well, I was watching the video. Demolition. It was steel can't melt, and you remember
steel can melt, but not at that temperature.
So at a certain temperature, it will melt. But like when the plane hit it and they were like, all this fuel helped it melt. That's not true. It's not hot enough.
But they said that it got hot enough to weaken the steel. Okay, I'll give you that. If it weakened with the winds, it doesn't matter how calm a day it is. The wind that those buildings have hitting it at all times.
Oh, for sure.
If it weakened, it would have collapsed like that.
Right.
And it would have taken out all kinds of people in building. Right. It wouldn't have come down.
It's
going
to collapse to the side since people can't see you. So it's going to collapse to the side.
It wouldn't have pancaked like that. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't have come like
straight down. It would have collapsed to the side.
Right. So I don't buy it. I never have. And most of the people who have heard these stories or were around during it don't believe it either.
Right.
Well, it doesn't matter. You can prove any theory. If you throw enough money at it and find the right people to scream about it, you can prove any side of your story.
Absolutely. And
I believe that they have just found, you know, quack scientists who say that, you know, the planes themselves were the ones that took down the buildings.
You know
what I mean? Like the jet fuel and the paper and cardboard, whatever else was inside there, was enough to bring down those buildings.
Right. Are you fighting with your dog?
I am.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is she trying to play with you?
While I'm on, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what my dogs try to do. So 9/11, all the what do you think their agenda was? Do you think it was overall the Patriot Act and then going into Baghdad?
I think it was a multifaceted plan. I think that in order to get everybody on board with being able to do such a...
So you needed something to happen.
In order to do some kind of attack like that and to get people on... Because, I mean, we're talking about a domestic attack.
Right.
A very large domestic attack. We're not just talking about the Twin Towers. We're talking about putting the Pentagon into it. And then the other plane that went over, what was it, Pennsylvania that went down?
Yeah, there were supposed to be like four planes.
Yep.
One went over Pennsylvania. One was going, and then they said a plane hit the Pentagon.
Yep.
But did you hear the reporter say, there's no plane here? There's right. nothing. There's no Somebody plane there. Live and on plus, air saying that.
The hole where the plane supposedly went into the Pentagon was too small.
Right.
It's too small. There's no way that a Boeing 747 would have made that small of an impact.
Plus, right.
We're talking about DC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You mean there's no restricted way. Airfields there are in DC?
Do you if know you how come within a certain amount of miles, they'll shoot you down, regardless if you're a commercial airline or not.
Right.
You're getting shot down.
Absolutely.
So you're telling me a commercial plane made it that far without fighter jets being scrambled and being right alongside that thing and taking it down if they had to? No. Give me a
somebody,
break.
Somebody who should have known about this. Like you
Everybody
can't
knew about
far.
It. We're talking about radar.
Right.
Just radar. Just primitive radar. Damn plane when it was 300-400 miles away from it. They knew the trajectory it was on. They knew exactly where it was going.
Why do you think they didn't do that? Why did scramble jets and shot it down?
They did. I'm sure they did. That plane didn't hit the Pentagon. They used that as a distraction.
As a distraction for something else.
And had a missile strike that hit the Pentagon. That's the only thing that could have moved fast enough and create that kind of damage and get past our defenses and do the damage it did to the Pentagon. They used a smart bomb, a smart missile that went in there and just, boom, took it out. That was it.
Do you remember right after 9/11, any cameras, like any buildings, like if you're a 7-Eleven and you had a camera facing in there,
it's all confiscated.
Yeah, they went in there and confiscated all the video right after the attack.
Right.
And they did it to every store.
Yes, they did.
Why would they do that? Because they want something covered up.
Yep. They're afraid of what people might see or what might get released. And during that time period, you know, our technology wasn't what it is. There was no way to instantly share it.
Right.
Today, you could. There's no way you could get away with that.
Facebook.
Right.
What was the popping social media platform back then? I don't even think we had one yet.
MySpace?
I think it was MySpace. Yeah. But I don't even think people were sharing this on MySpace.
No, it really wasn't much. Nobody was doing that kind of stuff, you know?
Right.
I mean, your cell phones, we still had, you know, one button scroll through your letters on top of the number to try and send a text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely.
So, yeah, that was a different time.
It's been confirmed that MySpace was the key social media back in those days. So thank you for the confirmation, Samantha. So I got a text. She was like, oh, it's MySpace.
Yep.
So can you imagine being in the building at this time? And like the people that were there.
Oh, yeah.
They were just like hopping out of the windows. What do you think their last thought was? Like, I'm going to die
one way or another. I'm going to die. So I'm going to go at my hands. Either I'm going to burn alive or I'm going to.
I'm assuming that's why people jumped.
Yep.
Because the fire was so. So it went into like the first plane got hit like the 52nd floor or the 60th floor. And the other plane hit like.
Well, see, here's the thing. 25th
floor.
There wasn't really fire. You can watch any videos of that at all. You see some smoke,
right?
Because there is a little bit, but it's not like it was a roaring, fire that was stopping people from getting out. Those planes hit stairwells. They hit elevators and stairwells. They blocked off those they blocked off the exit, so all those people were trapped.
Right. So before the actual attacks happened, I hear they were working on the elevators with armed guards around them, like days before it happened. And people are like, that's weird. Why do these technicians need all these armed guards around them? Why are they working?
So they could disable all the methods of escape for all these people.
Right.
You can take down a building, but if you it's a tragedy if the building goes down, but it is a true disaster if the loss of human life is enormous.
Right. And that's why they want as much loss of life that day. Almost 3,000 people were killed.
Human life means nothing to these people.
Absolutely not. Nothing. We're both expendable. Highly expendable.
It's not just us both. It's everybody on this planet. There are the haves and then there are the have nots. They believe that they are entitled to everything, and we are
their slaves.
The serfs. We are the ones that if that expression, in order to make an omelet, you have to break a few eggs. We're their eggs, and they don't care how many eggs they break. I mean, they just don't. That's where human resources comes from.
Right.
We're just a resource.
Right.
We're the dumb breeders. You know what I mean? So.
Right. Right. No,
that's
absolutely
the way they look at us.
People in the building on 9/11, the people that got out, they kept saying they heard pops. Pop, pop, pop.
Uh-huh.
Before like big explosions happen.
Yeah, it's the explosions. It was the explosives going off, getting ready to detonate the building so it could drop, taking out the support beams.
Absolutely.
It happens at any demolition.
If you look at when they tore down the Wynn or the Stardust from the casino out in Vegas, it went down the same way the towers went down.
Yeah,
the same identical thing. And then they say, no, a plane did this.
Nope. There's no way. And I mean, anybody who's a rational thinker, I mean, you don't even have to be the smartest person on the planet. If you just look at it logically.
Right.
There's no way. No way that makes sense to you. It doesn't matter how many times this is the definition of gaslighting. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And people that actually believe that this happened. I mean, I believe the tragedy happened. I believe the disaster happened.
Right.
That is not, but it's the method that they use to create this disaster.
Right.
And they did it to us. And our own government was complicit in doing this.
Well, it's not the first time the government has been complicit to do things like.
No, not at all.
In Cuba. They were trying to get us into war in Cuba. They were thinking about hijacking some bus and killing a bunch of people and saying the Cubans did it. And that would have got us to go out to war with Fidel Castro.
Yep.
But for some reason, that didn't happen. Pearl Harbor was an inside job. They knew exactly when the bombs were going to be. I mean, that's confirmed to this day. What else? I mean, the list can go on and on that it kind of reminds me of what we did to the Indians. We were friends with them, and then we gave them all these blankets full of smallpox and everything, and we just wanted their land.
Right.
And so it's kind of something like that.
100% it is.
So what do you think the outcome has been from all this?
The Gulf of Tonkin, that was another one that got us into Vietnam.
Explain that one for the viewers.
For the viewers, Gulf of Tonkin?
Yeah.
It was a, let's see, let me get it right. It's where the United States forces were carrying out covert amphibious operations on the North Vietnamese, and they were blaming it on others to get us into it.
Okay.
To get our involvement in Vietnam, because we were trying to stay out of it.
Right. We were trying to stay neutral.
Yep.
So
it was kind of the same with World War II. You know, we were staying out of that one.
I know. And I agree. Then
Pearl Harbor hit and we were in the war.
Yeah. And that they knew exactly if that happened, there would be an outcry of support. And then Americans, have you ever noticed if something happens to this country, we come together, Americans come together and want to fight.
Yeah.
That's one thing that they weren't counting on, especially with 9/11. The unity of being an American was so strong, especially after it went down. Oh, I'm a proud American, and everybody hanging up their flags. They counted on that. Nowadays.
They knew that. They knew that was going to happen. They knew that that was the perfect. They use predictive programming. They know exactly what it takes to push people to get the desired reaction that they want. They knew exactly what to do to get us right where they wanted us. We hook, line, and sinker agreed to the Patriot Act.
Oh, absolutely. We begged for it.
We had that security now, but yes. We gave up all kinds of liberties for it.
They can legally spy on us without warrants. Yeah, they can enter our property without warrants. If they think you're a terrorist, they can hold you indefinitely without going to court because of the Patriot Act.
Well, you got to really read these things because they can't just do this stuff, but it's real easy to classify you as something. It's real easy. I mean, you'd be surprised how loosely they use domestic terror. You know what I mean? They can put that title on anybody basically.
Well,
because it doesn't take very much to be called a domestic terrorist because all you are is
ties into the 9/11 as well.
Ish. Yes. He found out the truth about what was going on with the country, and then he decided he was going to do some rectification for it.
And that's how, right.
But, I mean, that's one version of it. The other version is he was an MK Ultra.
True.
You know, he was, what's the word I'm looking for? He was
a Manchurian candidate?
Well, under MK Ultra,
you can
he
go
was one of the. They just used that kind of mind control programming, round him up, sent him in there, and let him do his thing. I mean, he was the perfect patsy for it.
Right. I mean, we definitely should do an episode on the Oklahoma City bombing because that indirectly ties into all of this. We'll see what you think.
Right.
There's so many, like all these conspiracies are so convoluted. They're all interconnected.
Well, the problem with 9/11 is that so many people died
for greed.
It was greed. I mean,
it was over greed.
It was greed for some. It was over power control and, you know, the ability to spy on us all by some. It was over a family's, you know, butthurt philosophies, you know, that they wanted to get in there and get their name back, you know. Mm-hmm. But also there were items in Iraq that other power structures wanted control of.
Right.
You know, Iraq is supposedly had a working Stargate, and whoever has control of those Stargates has control of a lot of things. That's interdimensional travel right there.
Right.
Not to mention all the antiquities that proved where civilization began and where we came from. And the truth behind the Anunnaki.
That's exactly right. You're talking about the Anunnaki.
And those who control that kind of stuff control the true power. I mean, greed and family vendettas and things like that, that's minor stuff. But it's when you get into the real things, the beginning of our species, you know?
Right.
Controlling the actual
world.
Controlling the implements that help these interdimensional beings go back and forth, you know?
Right.
That's a pretty profound power to have control of. And to have a working one. And I've heard that it's not the only working one, and there's a few of them in the world.
Where would be another one?
That was an easy one for us to get to, because it was already in a conflict area, so that was easy for us to get to.
Was that in the green zone?
Do what?
Was that in the green zone? I feel like it was. I feel like they made a movie that it was like looking for weapons of mass destruction, and they cleared it. But the reason why they went in there was because of the Stargate.
Oh, well, they've made movies about all kinds of stuff like that. But the only weapons of mass destruction were what was found in these libraries and in these museums. And the true information, you know, because the things that were there could have destroyed religion
and brought it down to his knees.
Religion is the main way to control the population.
Right.
I mean, they've been doing it for a millennia. So if you could topple religions by uncovering what was actually documented in their, you know, physically there, just needing to be shown to people, they're never going to let that out.
You know, absolutely, what I mean?
There's no way. The churches make too much money and have too much control over people. And can you imagine what would happen to people if they were to find out that, you know, their belief system isn't exactly what they think it is? And I'm not here to argue theology with anybody like that. I mean, believe what you want to. That's a great thing about this world. You can believe anything you want. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, there are those who believe in that. What is it? The flying spaghetti monster thing. So
you lost me on that. This flying spaghetti monster. What's that?
What are they? Pastafarians?
I don't know.
Yeah. Let's see.
We don't know.
Yeah, Pastafarianism, also known as the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster.
I'm saying
you can believe in whatever you want.
Right,
But if there is proof of the origin, you know, the origination of our species in the Middle East, you know,
they're never going to let that out.
That's not going to be something that is ever going to see the light of day.
Absolutely not.
Not just I mean, that's like when they went to Egypt. Every time there's a major archaeological find in Egypt, the governments go in there first.
Right.
And they see what's there before it's allowed to be released to any museum or anywhere like that.
The
Smithsonian is controlled by the government.
And it's very
Have so much stuff that'll never be seen by anybody.
Just like the Vatican does too.
The Vatican's archives books.
I hear they have a working time machine that they can look into the past. They have goggles that you look in and you can see the past and what happened. And it's at the Vatican. They have things sealed off that they'll never bring up. You know?
I do know what you're talking about.
That came out couple years ago. A whistleblower came out and was like, yeah, there's a working time machine there. I can't remember what it's actually called.
The chronovisor
that you could look in the past.
Well, I'm not saying they do and I'm not saying they don't, but if they go through such trouble to debunk and make sure that we don't ever get the chance to see any of these things, you know, it makes me think that maybe there's some truth to it.
So you don't ever think there'll be a time where all this stuff, it just comes out and says, yep, aliens are real. Everything that we've came out and said is a lie. There's people on Mars. Well, we have bases on Mars. All this.
They're working on. I mean, there are some things that are coming out that they have to. It's just getting too hard to control. The way the genie is almost out of the bottle and they can't put it back in. They're starting to have to extraterrestrials. They're slowly starting to admit.
They're there. They're real.
They've told us for 100 years that, you know, there's no such thing as aliens. You know, don't believe this. Don't believe that. If they go back and completely say, you know what, hey, we lied to you. This is what we found. This is what's here. They lose all credibility. People will be in an uproar. Right. There's too many people that are too invested in it. You still have a large majority of the public that will believe hook, line, and sinker whatever the government tells them. And even the ones that do question a little bit are still in the back of their mind like, well, no, there's no way they would actually lie to us, you know, because they're our government. They're for us, you know, and we get new people in there. So how could they pop? Because everybody has a way to be controlled. Right. It doesn't matter who you are. If you make it into politics, they've got a way to control you. Right. They're going to find a way to control you. They're going to find some way to gather incriminating evidence or get you in a compromising scenario.
Something. Everybody can be blackmailed.
And you are going to be under their control. And for most people, it's money. There's no way that these people go into public office, you know, barely rubbing two nickels together and coming out multimillionaires. Right. You know what I mean? Because
they're being paid to keep their mouth shut.
Well, not necessarily mouth shut. It's to push whatever line they want. Or it doesn't matter if it's pushing that, you know, 9/11 was, you know, a terroristic operation, and it was buildings were brought down by planes, and Building 7 was brought down by, you know, a piece of paper was on fire and caught the right draft and blew through the window and came down. You know, it started. Who knows?
They can always find
somebody to do that.
What did they say about Building 7 and why it came down?
They obfuscated that one. They never really gave anything.
But people just filled in the blanks and they were like, well, obviously something happened.
Yeah.
Nobody pushed that topic.
It was pushed, but it wasn't pushed on. If it was pushed on like the news or something like that, it was always shifted to another topic real quick. Right. You were always cut off. You were always spoken over, you know, nothing was ever, the only time it was ever talked about or pushed was through, you know, a conspiracy related show or somebody who was trying to bring upon a different topic or different narrative. Viewpoint. Yeah.
Right.
So,
but they would always make that person look crazy because they're just like, this can't be real. This is what the government said has happened. But if you look at the cold, hard facts, it just doesn't add up.
Well, and that was the thing with Alex Jones. I mean, Alex Jones has a lot of very, very good information on these topics. He put in a lot of legwork on it. Problem is, he's a very eccentric person. And he got wrapped up. You know what I mean? He gave him an inch to run on with him being crazy, and it discounted everything all the true things he brought up before. But this guy.
Subscribe now to LimitlessBroadcastingNetwork.com to finish listening to the episode ad-free.
You're listening to the Limitless Broadcasting Network.
Your whole life can change in an instant. About 50 million adults in the United States have chronic pain, and because of a car accident, Robbie is one of them. In their marriage vows, Robbie and Sammy promise to stand by one another and provide strength when needed. And lately, they've been facing some of their biggest challenges. Join them as they share the ups and downs of living with chronic pain.
Hello, guys, and welcome back to The Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain. We are your hosts. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Sammy.
And welcome back to the show.
Yeah, we've had quite the delay.
Yeah, we have had quite the delay with this podcast. I mean, another reason why we have a delay is because we don't want to just do random episodes. We want to have thought out, concise episodes.
Yeah.
So that's why we try to have more of a delay. Mm-hmm. But this is still one of our favorite podcasts to do. Mm-hmm. Yep. We've been around for 5 years now.
Yeah. So that's why we figured to jump back into things. We'd start by talking about the fact that happy 5 years.
Yeah.
We've been here doing this since 2020, so.
This was our first podcast on Limitless Broadcasting Network. Yeah,
first one we recorded, first one released, and then the second one was the Pixie Dust Twins.
Yeah.
Shortly thereafter. So, yeah, very, very happy to still be doing this after 5 years. And I just did a quick look just to see, you know, over the years what some of the more popular episodes have been. And the one we did with Jason, where he tells us about living lucky.
Okay.
That is actually one of the most popular episodes.
Oh, nice.
And I thought that was very cool. He's a very great guy.
Well,
awesome. You should check that out if you haven't.
Everything is so doom and gloom when it comes to, like, pain.
Yeah.
I was trying to motivate people.
Yeah, you know, something positive.
Something positive for having chronic pain.
Now, the accident, our very first episode, still has the most momentum, which makes sense because I feel like that's a good place to start with the show to kind of know why we're doing it. But when we talked about spinal cord stimulations, those are actually one of our, that's one of the most popular episodes. Also, when we talked about chronic pain Valentine's Day, so kind of like romance and chronic pain, also one of the top ones. And then Dr. Teitelbaum is in the top episodes. Yes, which I think is also very good. Dr. Teitelbaum is very, very positive, too. So I think that's great. And then our mental health episodes rank up there, which makes sense. And our acupuncture episode actually went over pretty well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know acupuncture didn't really work out for Robbie.
Right.
But there's a lot of people that it helps, and I think that's important.
Yes.
That it's worth
checking out
if you haven't. And then our interview with Jessica is one of our top episodes, too, which I think is very cool because, you know,
I like Jessica a lot.
Yeah, we definitely need to have her back on at some point because she still has issues.
Yeah.
Still going through a lot. And as she's getting older, I think it's starting to become more problematic for her, too.
Yeah. Every time I see her on, like, TikTok, I always like her stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Like, she's a sweet kid, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I remember when we first were launching this, I thought my professional career in Hollywood or in the media industry was over.
It was, because we didn't start this till 2020.
But you brought up the idea of having a podcast.
Yeah. It'd been 2 years, really, since it happened at the end of 2017. So basically the beginning of 2018 is when things are really going downhill, because that's when you started realizing, like, the pain was still there, and now we're having to deal with the lawyers and doctors, so it'd been, like, 2 years, and then COVID happened, and, I mean, no one's really working, first of all, so it's not just you.
Right.
And what else are we gonna do?
When you were like, oh, let's do a podcast, I was like, who the fuck is gonna listen to a podcast?
People.
But I will tell you, by far, this is the most popular show on the network, still, number one.
Yes.
People come up to us all the time, and they're like, hey, we listen to your Painful Truth show. Thank you for being so open and honest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason why we wanted to do this is to kind of, like, educate people and motivate people.
Well, and just share.
And kind of share our experiences.
I think the most important thing with the pain community is just feeling like you're
not alone.
And I feel bad because I follow, there's like a whole community on Reddit, and those people I feel bad for them. They basically hate the entire medical community, and I get it. You know, sometimes I get a little offended being still part of the medical community, but then I realize that's not fair because their experience is not universal, but they may be stuck, you know, with whatever is available to them, the doctors, whatever they're being told.
Yeah.
You know, and I do feel bad for them because it just, a lot of them seem like they need more help than they can find, which sucks.
I mean, I still don't like my body. I don't like where I'm at. I still feel like an alien in my new body.
Mm-hmm.
Like after my accident. I mean, we're still like, we're still not a normal couple. Like, and that's because of me. Like, I have a hard time being touched. Mm-hmm. Like, it just, and not that I don't want to be. I deal with so much pain a day that it's hard for people to fathom. Mm-hmm. And like me coming and going, and like I have to take a nap all the time.
Yeah.
Like, that bothers me still. Like, oh, I'm so tired. We have to go take a nap. Mm-hmm. But it bothers me because I only have so much energy to do.
Yeah.
Like, during the day.
Yeah, it does suck. I mean, because we were just out the other day over the weekend with friends.
Yeah.
And I knew you just wanted to go, but you weren't going to say anything because you didn't want to be that guy.
Well, everybody's having a good time. Everybody's meshing. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be like, oh, I got to go. I'm sorry, not to break this party up. But I only have so much energy, especially like when we're just kind of walking around. I'm just like, you know, it reminds me of the time we went to, Logan and Amanda were here.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm ready to go. And you're like, go sit down.
Well, the difference there, because I want to be clear, is that
Robbie... That she's mean to me. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding.
He didn't just come up to me and express that he was starting to feel tired. Like, he threw a fit. And I was just like, we're not doing this. So you're going to go get some water and go sit down, and I'm going to go ride a ride with them. And then I'll come back and check.
Did I really throw a fit?
Yeah. I mean, because this was kind of more early on. You know, when we were still trying to figure stuff out, and there's just a lot going on for you. But yeah, like, that's the reason why I was so.
I still remember.
Go sit down and get a fucking drink of water because I can't deal with
you. I still remember Logan and Amanda's faces. They're like, Robbie's having a meltdown. She's just like, go fuck off.
Yeah. I'm not leaving yet. So.
So she went on the roller coaster. Mm-hmm. She went on, the
Expedition Everest. Yeah.
Because we were at the Animal Kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then after that, we left.
Yeah. Now, you know, we kind of understand how it is for you and how we should plan to do things. You know, breaking up the day, like you talked about. If we want to go to a park, you know, it's better if we don't plan to be there early because it's easier for you. Even though, legit, I mean, sometimes we'd like to go get breakfast. I know that would appeal to you. But if it doesn't fit in your time frame, we're not going to force you to do it.
My body doesn't work well in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why I kind of sleep in. I don't get up to like 9:30 because, number one, I take medicine. Without the medicine, I don't sleep at all. Like, I would just be up all night. And number two, I do have a lot of pain in the morning.
Yeah.
And then, but once I get up and rolling, I only have so much time to do something. Mm-hmm. And then I got to come back and be like, well, I need a nap.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be 30 minutes. Sorry. Excuse me. It could be 30 minutes to an hour, but I still need to shut my eyes and take a nap because it just, again, I experience a lot of pain.
I mean, that's how we work things. You know, like Monday, we wanted to go over to Hollywood Studios. So, but you had a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
Dr. Thomas, first thing in the morning. So it's like, okay, what time would you like to set for dinner to give you enough time to come back, take your nap, feel better, and then we can go to the park.
Right.
And even so, I mean, like, we did dinner, we did the Muppets, and then we saw Ashley and Brett, because they're still here for a little bit, and then it was like, okay, it's time to go.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I didn't want to spoil the party. I'm glad that you got an opportunity to talk with them and joke around with them.
Yeah.
But towards the end of it, I was like, all right, we're going to go.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. They're here on their honeymoon vacation. Right. So it's not like I want to be like in the middle of all that.
Gotcha.
But you were talking about like in the morning, it's hard for you to get up. I feel bad because I was thinking about this the other day.
What's that?
So Robbie complains about a lot of things. Besides his pain, he complains about the dogs a lot, and he's just like, you know, first thing, Lucifer makes too many noises, which he makes a lot of noise. Like, he grunts. It's hard to explain. He whines. He just makes a lot of noise.
He gets super excited to open the door.
He barks. He, like, puppy kind of barks.
And he's 5 years old. I've never had a dog that I'm just like, bro, he's you're full energy. Five.
But he grumbles and, like, he just makes a lot of noise. Okay. And I was just, I don't remember which morning it was, but one of the mornings when we were up and starting to get ready, and I'm just listening to you in the shower, and I kept asking if you were okay because you make a lot of noise too. It's just like a lot of like groans and sighs. Oh, and yeah? I don't think you even realize you're doing it.
No, I don't.
But I was just like, are you all right in there?
Like, you're just comparing me to Lucifer. Yeah, it's
with all the noise. And then the other thing, which I did say this to you the other day, is so we have our rescue dog, Raven. We believe was turned 10 last year. There's no way to know 100%, but we did like a DNA analysis, and that's our best guess. So she's old, okay? She's an old lady. And sometimes when she's laying on the bed with us, she moves around a lot because she can't get so comfortable. Much. But he complains, and I'm like, that's exactly what you do. Like, all night long, you can't get comfortable, and you're moving around. You can't complain because she's doing the same thing.
Like, I am so uncomfortable. I don't like her being around me because I can't get comfortable myself. So everybody sleeps, even the dogs sleep on Sammy's side of the bed.
Yes,
that's because true. I'm just like, I can't have you guys here.
Yes.
I don't even like a paw on me because, mm-hmm. you know, you wouldn't think that hurts me, but like it does.
Mm-hmm.
And like when somebody puts their hand on me or mm-hmm. my back or something like that, I get like little jolts of like it hurts.
Yeah, it's like a whole nerve.
And, that's why I'm always like super aware of people. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want people to touch me. I don't. Mm-hmm. And it sucks because that's my new normal. Mm-hmm. I always compare myself to how I was like, I would have enough energy to go all night and all day. But nowadays I'm lucky enough to, we went out to lunch today and I was just like, man, I am ready to go back and crash. That was like 2 hours.
That's because we were out late, I think, yesterday, so it kind of threw you off. And that's the thing, too, is, like,
getting in a regiment helps.
Yeah, and when it's thrown off, it's a lot harder for you to adjust. So, like, when we do cons, I already know it's going to be several days to a week of you needing more sleep, just not functioning the same way
because I will it takes tell
so much out of you.
After doing a con, it takes me a week to almost 2 weeks to get back mm-hmm. in sync.
Yeah.
Because I put out a lot of energy to do it, and I am hurting that whole time, but mm-hmm. you would not notice it because I'm there for a reason,
mm-hmm.
and I don't let people, like, if you were to see me and talk to me, you're not going to actually get that I'm hurting, but mm-hmm. I am in a lot of pain.
Yeah, I mean, he brings pain medicine with him to the cons, and then that's what I'm trying to tell you, like, you should sit down. You know, make sure you're drinking something.
Right.
Like, always trying to check on you, because otherwise you're just not really taking care of yourself, in my opinion.
I was trying to sit down more these last couple times.
Mm-hmm.
But
are not going to be offended, you know.
We started wearing masks, like COVID, like the way you did it, surgical masks.
Mm-hmm.
Because we did Spooky Empire, and I got a pneumonia from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sick for almost 3 months.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm never going to get better. I'm never going to get better. And then got better. And she was like, yeah, we're going to start wearing masks. Mm-hmm. So we did it at 90s Con.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought people were going to be upset about it. I thought it was going to cut into sales. But then there was a guy that set up across from us that was doing the same thing. And that kind of gave me the confidence to be like, all right. Let's just mm-hmm. do that. But I think we live in a society that still understands people wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
I think COVID forever changed us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just acceptable now.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is. Even like last night, we were at the Lion King. And I was just like, maybe we should wear masks here. Like, there's so many people in the theater. I'm too late. Didn't think to grab any like we would have years ago. But yeah. I mean, it's always in my mind now. Just to try and make sure, because it takes you so much longer to get over stuff.
I mean, you give me medicines like elderberry.
Yeah, so we do elderberry every day. I used to only do elderberry kind of like November through February or so. But now I'm just like, just daily, just do a dose of elderberry. I've got zinc I'm going to start giving you, high dose, not crazy high dose, but higher doses of vitamin D to help with your immune system.
Yeah.
You know, just whatever we can try and do, even if it gives you like a little benefit.
Yeah. We do B vitamins mm-hmm. for my energy. We do a multigrain vitamin.
Yeah, multivitamins.
Multivitamin, not yeah, multigrain, uh-huh. but multivitamins.
Yeah, and then you do fish oil, but that's because you also have triglyceride and cholesterol issues.
I really think so that with me taking that has lowered that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my triglycerides were, I'm sorry about that, were so off the chart that mm-hmm. I wouldn't even register.
Yep.
And my doctor would be like, what's going on here? But now with me taking fish oil all this mm-hmm. time, mm-hmm. it's dropped it down. Like, I remember you started me on one,
mm-hmm.
and then it dropped it down slightly, but and now I take multiple.
Yeah, I give you two every day, and then also niacin at night, which is another thing to help with, like, cholesterol and all that. So. Plus fiber, which fiber helps. You know, eating fruits and vegetables is good, but I also give you, like, an extra boost of fiber.
So, yeah, my doctor is no longer concerned about my triglycerides because normal triglycerides are like 300?
I
300 to 200. Mm-hmm. Mine was like 1,500.
It was insane.
And Sammy was more worried, and I was like, all right, whatever. And she was like, you could have a heart attack. So.
Heart attack, pancreas could explode. I mean, like, you got a lot of issues.
So.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, we're excited that this podcast has been around for 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's this show has definitely changed our lives. It's helped yeah. out our relationship. It mm-hmm. is not just helped out us, but it's helped out other people.
Yeah, which is cool.
Which is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you guys want topics for us to discuss on this,
yeah,
please let us know.
The episodes we're going to be having coming out soon, we have... One, it's kind of on the Luigi
yeah.
story, but also it's not just him, but also just kind of looking at does pain, could it make you become violent? Could right. it make you, and I don't want to mean like more aggressive, you know, just like how does it affect you emotionally really is more so probably what we're going to get into.
Yeah, there's several things I want to bring up for that.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to do an episode on that. And then I have a couple topics prepared to do ALS, multiple sclerosis. What else did I grab? I don't think I did Parkinson. I'll have to check and see what else I grabbed. I have lots of notes that I started putting together, but just some other chronic issues that are out there that do a lot of crossover, especially ALS is really its own thing, but with MS patients, a lot of them have very similar issues to you because it affects the nervous system. So it's like, sorry, Lucifer just got up and like licked my knee and then just walked off. he's just checking on me or letting me know he's here. But MS patients, it affects their nerves. So a lot of times when I'm talking to them, they have very similar issues to you. So, you know, it's sometimes easier for me to be like, well, did you try this? Did you try that? This may help you, you know. Giving thoughts that way.
Gotcha.
But.
So. Yeah.
But I mean, things have changed over the 5 years for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still not out of the woodwork.
It still sucks though.
But I try not to let pain control my life. And I think that's the key to this. I know a lot of people that experience pain, they're like, oh, I'm in so much pain. But it has to start with your motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been motivated by success.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had that motivation, I would be where I'm at. I think I would be like just laying in bed all day. I mean, we've done that. I've done that.
Yeah.
But
there were some pretty terrible times.
Yeah.
Yeah, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think that's a key thing is kind of mapping out like, starting off, like, what are you going to do for the day? And that includes, you know, whether it's a work thing you know, like what you want to get done for the day, and then you can kind of figure out how you can fit it into your day as needed. Or I was even thinking, you know, because we just went up to Connecticut, and that was a lot because we did, the first part was a vacation for us.
Right.
Really and truly. But it's not like he was better, so we still had to, like, figure out the day around him. You know, okay, so we'll do this, and then we can maybe take a break. It includes a lot of breaks.
Yeah.
You know, like, let's sit down and get food.
Yeah.
You know? And I know part of that, too, just thinking of, like, Ashley and Brett being here at, going to Disney, right? You could never do Disney with Ashley because her break may be stopping to get, like, quick service meals.
Yeah.
But for you, I know part of the reason why it's better for us to do a full sit down is because that's long.
Yeah.
That is a longer process. So you get to sit much longer. I mean, usually it's more indoors, air conditioned. Off. Yeah. I mean, they're bringing you refills on drinks. You don't have to get up and go get a refill if you need one. It just is a better system for you. So I know I crack jokes all the time that you're bougie, but I get part of it is because it's better for you.
Right.
To do that versus, you know, now you got to go struggle and find a table and,
right,
do all that, which is not always the greatest, right, especially if you're at a theme park for several hours. Oh,
for sure.
Yeah. It's not the best fit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why we do, I try to do so well is because I do want to see this network take off.
Yeah,
for sure. I force myself to do more because there are times I'm just like, I can't do this. But then I'm just like, if I don't do it, where are we going to be? So I force myself to do it. So I really think it's about your motivation and what you really want. I mean, I'm forever going to be in pain. Since I know that, I don't want it to limit where I can go, what distance I can reach. So,
and again, it's trying to figure out how to work the system, right? Like, you go to cons and those setup sucks.
Yeah.
Breakdown sucks. So we've been spending more time recently, like, okay,
trying to,
what are we doing that's not efficient?
Yeah.
So let's discuss it and let's figure out how to make it easier to do. So that's some of the things that we're still working on.
Some of the cons, you might see me there by myself.
Yeah, I can't go to all of them.
Can't go to, but I don't want to rely on other people for the success of the company. So I'm just like, well, I'll just mentally prepare in my head that I'm going to be doing this. It's going to probably take me 5 hours to set up. That's what
I was going
to
say. You just, if it takes you 5 hours,
it takes you
just
you
get
five,
there when you need to get there.
Yeah.
And do it. And that's my thing, too, is if we're able to, if we're going together, for instance, I'm just like, let's get there early. Like, when we go to Spook Gala, I'm like, okay, you can start setting up at noon, whatever it was. But we have to get in the car and drive for 2 hours.
Right-ish.
You know, depending on, because we stop and grab food on the way because, you know, I can't do that without eating because it's too much work. But, you know, so what time should we leave the house that's not stupid early, gets us there early afternoon because we want to set up. And yes, I mean, when we're there, I want to just be done with it. But I also, I don't want to rush, you know, and make it look bad or incomplete or push us.
Yeah.
Push you to move too fast.
Yeah.
So that's one thing. But, I mean, last time they didn't have the air conditioning on. And I...
That was a killer.
That's... I end up with, like, a migraine. And we were supposed to be meeting Dan for dinner. And that's why I eventually looked at you and I was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Normally, I'm, like, worried about stopping for you. But I need to leave.
Yeah.
I need to go take something. I can't do this.
We ended up finishing setup the next day. It didn't take us too long.
I mean, we got it done. We just showed up a little bit early and... It was fine. But, you know, doing things like that, too. And I think communicating is key because those are stressful.
Yeah. Cons are very stressful
days. And there's definitely some fighting involved sometimes with setup
and takedown and whatnot.
Like,
I think the people next to us heard us the last time.
Oh, you were really good on my last
and time.
And
I was like,
backing up.
Why?
I can't remember. Whatever you were doing, I was just like, it's not making any sense to me why you're doing that. And then you would snap back at me. And then I'm just like, you're a fucking idiot. And then And then I know you came over and you kept trying to talk to me and I just refused to respond to you. And I know that made it worse. And you know, like the thing is, I know both of us sometimes when we're having the arguments, like I know both of us know that we're just making this a worse thing.
Yes.
But neither of us wants to just not be the idiot.
Right.
And stop the whole argument. So.
Right.
Yeah. It happens sometimes. Not always a breakdown. Sometimes
during the day,
set up.
During the afternoon, you know, it just all depends.
Yeah, it depends how tired you are and, yeah, when you're just kind of done with the whole thing.
Yeah.
It depends. I mean, I will say usually in the middle, when we're just working, it's not too bad. The only time I get annoyed is, like, if we're trying to discuss eating.
And then 50 people come up and
it's not even that. It's like someone just walks by the booth, but Robbie has to be like, let me go talk to this person. Let me just, in the middle of you saying a sentence to me, I'm just going to turn and just start talking to someone else. And I'm just like,
well, sometimes he does it on my bad side. And I'm just like, I didn't even know
your ears not work.
I didn't know you were talking to me.
Your ears don't work.
Clearly not at the shows.
Yeah. It's much better. That's why I've been trying to more recently just talk to you ahead of time. Like, what is the game plan for the day?
Yeah.
So if I just bring snacks, that is what it is. We'll just get by on that and then eat afterwards. That's fine. But I need to know what we're doing.
We need a game plan.
Because trying to talk to you in the middle of the day gets on my fucking nerves sometimes.
Okay.
I'm just like, here's a menu, trying to hand it to him. And then it literally will push my hand away because, like, oh, I'm going to go talk to this person.
Well, I'm in show mode.
Also, my favorite thing is how you claim to tell me I'll be right back when you don't. First of all, you just said to me, like, oh, I don't know you're talking to me. You make no effort to walk into the booth or walk by me and say, touch me, anything, and say, hey, I'm going to go check on something. I'll be right back. You just say it and go, or you're saying it as you go. And then I'm just like, what happened to you? You just disappeared for 10 minutes. Like, the only time you legitimately seem to communicate is when you go to the bathroom. You make an effort to tell me that. But whenever you just decide to go fuck around
and find out, right?
Because you know that's what you're doing. Nothing. And then he claims, well, I said something to you. I told you.
That's it.
Yeah. But that has really nothing to do with your pain and just more that you're annoying.
I see.
The ADHD right there.
Well, guys, this is going to be a brief episode.
Yeah, just a check-in. Happy 5 years.
Say where you've been around for 5 years. We couldn't have done this without you guys. Mm-hmm. Let us know your guys' favorite episodes of the show and why.
And, again, topics.
And if you know somebody or if you're somebody that would want to come on and share your story, hit us up.
Yeah.
You can go to Limitless Broadcasting on Instagram.
That's the best place to reach us.
And hit us up and DM us and say, hey, I want to come on and share my story. And we would love to have you on.
Yeah, we're most active on that account. So if you're trying to reach us.
Yeah.
That is the best way to get a hold of us is the Limitless Broadcasting main account. Sometimes trying to manage all the Instagrams is a lot. So trying to get through the messages and stuff, sometimes we get a little behind on the other ones. So if you're really looking to get a hold of us, I would say on there.
Yeah.
Sure. Reach out. Yeah.
So, all right, guys. Thank you for tuning in on this one. We have more fire episodes coming.
We will be back soon. Shouldn't be a delay. Yeah. Like there was. We plan to get the next one recorded ASAP. And that should be on the Luigi.
Yes.
Thing.
So we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
And have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Painful Truth of Living with Chronic Pain with Robbie and Sammy. Make sure you like, follow, and subscribe to the Limitless Podcast Network's own channel, Instagram, and all things social media. And we'll see you all real soon.